Sound check. Yes. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to I Just Got My Kid to Sleep, the podcast version. We haven't really expanded into any other versions yet. My kid, who's asleep right now. A lot of debate out there about whether the word is kid or child. I think kid is fine. And some people chimed in on the internet recently saying that it was also fine. And I'd have to agree with that. But I was about to say something about my child. Oh, my child. I just got my child to sleep. Jack, whoo. I'm just trying to wake up. I fell asleep too. I don't know if you've ever done that. As a parent, everybody has. That's a silly question. If your child makes you go to sleep with them, at some point, you're gonna fall asleep too. And it's really nice. It's the most unique sleep that I've ever gotten in my entire life. Like, if you're not a parent, getting your child to sleep, I don't think there's ever an occasion where you're like, well, it's nighttime. I'm gonna go to bed myself in a few hours. Let's take a nap. Like, but that's what it is. I usually fall asleep when I'm putting him to bed. Also, it's the only job where that's like encouraged. I can't think of another job other than like maybe you're a test person for drugs. I don't know, where they're like, hey, if you fall asleep while you're doing it, that'll help. 'Cause like that's what it is. I usually fall asleep or try to fall asleep when he's not falling asleep right away. Because I'm like, well, if I'm gonna lay here, here's our sleep routine right now. The end of it, at least, is just like he's just laying there. He has a mat next to his bed, and I lay down, and he lays down too, lies down, and if he's not falling asleep, then I'm just like, well, I'm not just gonna waste my time here. I'm going to sleep, and I think whenever I've done that, he's always been asleep. And that's nice to wake up and your job is done and you got rest. It's such a weird thing to fall asleep at night and then wake up and it's night and be like, well, I'm not going to bed yet. I just got all this rest. I was pretty sleepy. I couldn't have stayed. I always think like, oh, I could just sleep here, but I don't. I think I could if it was like when he's younger, as a baby, but as a kid, I don't know. I'm just doing stuff, I used to think we never did that. Like there was an age when he was a baby where we let him just lay in there and cry it out, and then there was an age where it just sort of realized that he liked having someone fall asleep next to him. And then I saw an Instagram video supporting that rather than saying it was bad. And I was like, well, that's a fact, That's what's great about social media. Like I was gonna get like parenting magazines or books, but you can really just go on Instagram or TikTok and just watch videos till you see one that works for your lifestyle. And you're like, well, I believe in that now. I just talked about how kids until they're like seven, it doesn't really like, yeah, you can lay in there with them. You're not gonna hurt them. It's not, showing love in that way isn't gonna. It might hurt you. It's not really hurting me either. If I'm gonna be honest, I am. This is all about being honest. Like what do I lose by laying in there? That's what I think about too. Like, I think when my parents were parents, they still are parents, but when they were like parents of little kids, my mom and dad had three. And it was more of a business, You get in, you get out, you go relax, do your thing. And they had a house. They had a whole household to take care of, a lawn that they had. I did weed whack growing up, but I didn't really get to mow the lawn. My older brother mowed the lawn. There's a lot of stuff to delegate, the whole business. But I have a pretty small business. I have an apartment and one. And so he's going to get all my attention. He's my only customer. And I'm going to make sure that, we're gonna see how this one goes, right? Maybe in 20 years we'll be able to be like, wow, it didn't matter, or it did. I hope it doesn't matter. I hope that as a parent, you can let your child fall asleep on their own, screaming and yelling and crying as if the world's going to be end, and they are just the same as they would be if you laid in there and they didn't do that. I think growing up as a parent has really been a lot of just letting go of resisting, just being like, all right, this is what I'm doing now. I'm just working it into my schedule. I remember when I first had to be like, oh, it's 4 hours to fall asleep. I have to be home 4 hours before he's going to fall asleep. So that's just where I'm going from. Now it's a little easier because he's older and I can talk him into stuff. But there was a point where I was like, this is our pattern. He has a pattern at when he goes to sleep, and he can move, you know, it's adjustable, but it's nice when you don't have to. Anyway, this is the episode. The episode's not done. That would be crazy, right? We did go to bed early, which is good. I would like to thank the airlines I was flying yesterday. Special shout out to the Delta House Airlines, the fraternity of airlines. Delta, they delayed their flight 5 hours. I was supposed to fly from Atlanta to LAX. I was supposed to get in at 3:30, and then I would have like the whole 4 hours to get Jack ready for bed. And what happened was I got delayed so late that he was already asleep. And so there was no stress about like, is he going to get to bed in time to get a lot of sleep? So he went to bed early or whatever, woke up, I picked him up from school. It was great. It's weird when your flight gets delayed and you're happy. That's a strange thing. Because no flight delays ever bother me at this point in my life. I cannot be bothered by a flight delay. It's not going to happen. You could say you're going to stay in the airport for the next 3 days and wait for this plane to take off. And I'd be like, well, do we have internet? You know, like that's how much of a life change it is to become a parent of a young child. You're like, I get a room. I get like I got to wait for this plane, but it's just for me. So that's where we're at. if you're watching right now, I appreciate it. I am wearing my Tropicana Field t-shirt. It's from where Tampa's baseball team plays, the Rays, and I like baseball. And so I have that shirt on. It's pretty soft. I sell shirts after my show that are very soft. And this is like, it feels like it was made in like 20 years ago. And it also looks like it, but it wasn't. And that's kind of the appeal, I guess. Because if you buy some shirts that are made 20 years ago, they're going to have like a hole in it, or you might not want to wash it as much. But if you get one that looks like it was, like with the artwork and stuff, that's pretty cool. I'm not wearing my contact. And I don't know if we're starting again, but I paused that audio recording, and now I'm back. So I fell asleep, like I said, while Jack was going to sleep, and my eyes, I had my contacts in, and so they got all red, which contacts are the best thing. Contacts and flight delays are the best thing. Some of the best things in my life. Flying is pretty cool, but the delay is like a free vacation. Contact lenses. I remember I had glasses growing up. Shout out to all the people out there with glasses. I had glasses when you had plastic frames and it wasn't cool for like a very long time. Like I had plastic frame glasses that were like kind of orange brown. I don't know how I picked that color. I don't remember picking that color. I don't remember being like, this is my dream pair of glasses. I kind of feel like they might have been discounted. I don't know. The only thing I know that's value to me of that color is my stuffed animal Rusty as a kid was that color. It's like, but I don't think I'd ever be like, oh, this is my stuffed animal. These glasses remind me of my stuffed animal, so I'm going to buy this so I can walk around during the day. They weren't Coke bottle. My mom said it when she was a kid that they didn't have the thing to make it not Coke bottle glasses. Like you just had glasses, and if your prescription was like crazy, you just had really thick glasses. They're like a Coke bottle, which is weird that my mom referenced that to me, because I I don't think I had a Coke, a glass bottle of Coke until I was like an adult. And they started selling like the Coke that was made in Mexico with like real sugar, which is kind of cool. That's just, I got what she was saying though. But I think until this moment right now, reflecting on it, I always imagined that she was talking about aluminum cans. So I was just like, yeah, that would be hard to see out of, to walk around with. Because the bottom of an aluminum can is kind of thick, I guess. I think it's weird how you would just accept things as a kid. I was just like, oh, Coke bottle glasses, right. And I pictured a can. And I was like, well, mom's mom, you know, she might see the world differently, their whole generation. But now I see the glass part of the Coke bottle. I see how that can be like, that's like glasses. So I got glasses when you could make it so it didn't look like Coke bottle glasses anymore. I forget what they call it, but they can, my foot is just falling asleep right now. That's what's going on. My foot's like, go back to bed, fall back asleep. That is the wonderful part about this podcast, is sometimes you'll see me after my son goes to sleep and I'm raring to go. And then sometimes you'll see me when I'm like, oh, I just could have kept sleeping. I couldn't have kept, I wouldn't have, if I went to bed at 9 o'clock, that's what time he was, I fell asleep around 9. I don't know. That's a good time for us. He has school. He starts school around 9. We have to get there by 9:15. They have a pickup. I think I said that already. Drop off by 9. And this is like episode 6, I think. So there's going to be some stuff that I'm like, I already talked about that, Michael. What are you doing? What are you doing still talking about that? Anyway, he goes to bed at 9. He can almost sleep 12 hours. Don't judge me, you know? And 7's the best time, they say. It was still light out at 7, though. I know that 7's the right time because if you watch Peppa Pig and they're going to bed, it's always on like right at 7 p.m. As if to be like, hey, parents, these animals, these pigs can get their children together in bed by 7 o'clock. They are innately farm animals. Sure, they're walking around. They have successful jobs. They all own houses on top of a hill somehow. But they somehow have their life together enough to go and get their kids to bed by 7 p.m. That's how I feel when I watch Peppa Pig. No, I do think it's a good example. And I think when he's in school next year and starts school a little earlier, we'll aim for 7. I think we could have done 7 tonight. But if you can't just make the big jump, you know? Anyway, buying time until I remember what I was gonna say. Sometimes I couldn't have went to sleep at 9. That's what I was trying to say. I just can't go to sleep that early. I work at night. I work nights. If you don't know that about me, I'm a stand-up comedian. Also, I'm a podcaster. One of Jack's shows talked about how parents work at night and how they have to sleep during the day because they work at night. And he said that to me. I forget how he brought it up, but he was like, Dad, you work at night, right? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, well, how come you don't sleep during the day? And I just wanted to be like, I try to, you know, when you try to take a nap, that's when I'm trying to sleep during the day. I just want to be like, what are you talking about? Anyway, he just wants to hang out. Kids just want to hang out. That's all they want to do. There's nothing wrong with that, really. Probably. Who knows? Who knows? Who really knows? There's so many things that this is a real parent-centric podcast so far. And the goal, the dream is to have it for everybody. But just in case, I feel like it applies to everybody. Progression as a society. Progression? Progress? I'm gonna try to stop correcting myself so much. Just get it right the first time, Michael. I think that it's weird when you become a parent, they tell you all the things they know now and how the things that your parents did were pretty much wrong. That's some of them. Like when we became parents, they were like, you know, no sheets, no pillows or blankets in the crib with the child. Nothing. Just let them sleep with nothing. Because because they could die. That I didn't want to say it quietly. You shouldn't make fun of it. I'm not making fun of it. I wasn't making fun of it. But I think you got to laugh a little bit about sad things afterwards. Like, not as it's happening, of course. Let's not. No reason to get that dark. But my mom was just like, well, how would they fall asleep without sheet? And was like, oh, okay. And then there was something about how you don't put your baby, the baby on the stomach. That if they roll over, it's fine. But you just don't put them there. And my mom was like, well, that's how you fell asleep. And I was just like, oh, okay. So part of it's like, well, it must not be that big of a deal because I'm alive. But then part of me is like, well, what am I doing, you know, that could be wrong later? Like, you put your child to sleep when he was five. You laid down on a mat next to him. Oh, you can't do that. You gotta hang him upside down once they fall asleep. That way their blood circulation, and then rotate them every 2 hours. That's crazy how much we learn and how much we grow. So I had a flight delay yesterday of like five hours, which is a bummer in the sense that I would have loved to have slept. You know, that's the biggest thing as a parent. Like, if you get a flight delay, I don't get upset about the time to like be on the internet and get work done or whatever, or watch movies or whatever it is you want to do, or just like chat with other grown-ups, you know? Like, it was fun for us to be like, wow, they're saying it's going to leave at 5:30, but I don't think, I think it's going to be 6. Yeah, probably should be 6. They gave us a food voucher. Delta Airlines gave us a food voucher for $12. And I was like, have you ever shopped at an airport, Delta, for $12? What meal can you get that you, when you haven't eaten for upwards of 5 hours, what kind of food can you buy that could satiate those hunger needs? And then I was in line when I got the text. They send you the little voucher via text. They even said that. They're like, if you have a phone number or an email address, you'll get the voucher on your phone. But they weren't like, if you don't, here's one. They were just like, you just don't get one. I think the only way to buy a ticket now is to have a cell phone. I think you can't do it without one. Maybe you can just print it out. If you don't have access to your email on a smartphone, everyone's got to have a smartphone. Why did they call them smartphones? Now, they're just phones. That's just a phone now. If you have a phone that is not a smartphone, that's not a phone anymore. That's an old piece of equipment. That's an outdated technology thing. Like, if your phone is just a phone, then that's not a phone anymore. I don't know what it's called. What should it be called? It should be called a button block of plastic and glass. Because if someone's like, oh, I left my phone at the restaurant, you're like, whoa, that's like a computer. You're not like, oh, one of those things with a cord, you know? Anyway, this is where we really get into it, huh? Man, we were parent-centric, but now I fell off of it. But I was going to say something earlier about the other stuff. Anyway, I was in line at Starbucks because I wanted to get breakfast, because I had lunch kind of for breakfast. Do you ever do that, listeners? Do you ever eat lunch for breakfast because that's your only choice, and then you swing back around? I always swing back around. Something you don't know about me is I'm getting breakfast in, because it's kind of a fake meal if we're going to be really honest, you know? And I am. That's what this is all about, honesty. If we're going to be really honest, breakfast is pretty much just like, get some food in you. This is, you know, this is a cake. We'll call it a muffin, you know, like that sort of cereal. Cereals, it's all good, but it's fun to eat. I would say breakfast is the most fun meal for me to eat, because there's no like, there's no part you got to push through, you know, like, I guess if you're eating, you should never like, oh, I gotta push through this or whatever. But like, sometimes, like if you have dinner and someone made vegetables, or you made vegetables, you might not like love every part of those vegetables, but it feels good to eat them on some level. But breakfast, it's like it all, like fruit, I guess, would be the toughest. And even that is amazing. Like if you stop eating like I stopped drinking pop for a little while. I'm back on it and I love it. And I think everybody should. No, I don't think everyone should. But then you eat like a blackberry, it tastes like Coca-Cola. That's how good fruit can be if compared to nothing else. Oatmeal might be hard to eat, but you can put like a little brown sugar, some raisins. Breakfast is so fun. Lunch can be like, is this bread gonna be hard? Like, am I gonna have to eat a salad? Like, I gotta choose between fries and a salad. I always, when I travel, I try to eat a little like balanced between healthy and not healthy. I think it's, you can go and have French fries. Like, I'll order French. I had, like, this past weekend, I had French fries almost every day. But there was, if I am at a fast food and I'd order like a side of something else and they give me French fries anyways, one time they did that and they're like, I'm so sorry. And I literally was like, no, thank you. I was trying to do the right thing, but now I know that this is the right thing. And I don't know if I said it like that, but I felt like that. And I was just like, no, this is what I really wanted. I was just trying to, be good or whatever. But breakfast is, an infallible, can I use that word? It's a perfect meal. It's juice. Okay. Juice is awesome. Milk, fine. Cereal, boom. Cereal is amazing. Fruit, bagels, maybe as a kid you don't care, but bagels as an adult is like, what? This is, they say it's like four slices of bread, and I believe it. It's the best. Butter or cream cheese, really. And fruit, it's just like, and then some people eat eggs. Eggs is probably like the healthy thing, but that's also amazing. That's, eggs smell great when you cook them. They look awesome when you cook them. They like crack and sizzle. It's like an omelet with things in it. Can't go wrong. I'm always gonna get breakfast. I'm always swinging around. So, anyways, for lunch, when I got to the airport, because I thought we were gonna have to board right away, I just got a sandwich because I didn't see any breakfast spots. And it was a great sandwich. And there's a basketball game going on. The Bulls are playing the Knicks. And I was like, this is meant to be. The flight was delayed a little bit. I'm going to eat this like turkey club sandwich. Turkey's great. It's a good go-to lunch. Turkey's been like my lunch go-to for the majority of my life. When I was a kid, I did salami for a while, which I would go back to in a second, really. When I was really young, I had cheese sandwiches for a little bit. And then I got kind of made fun of as a kid for having cheese. No one's really make fun of you for what you eat. I think that's true because no one really knows, what's perfect for you. This is the food part. Anyway, sometimes when you do a podcast, you feel it like, oh, this is really helpful. This is at least entertaining. And then sometimes you do and you're like, I think this is just me talking. And like, digging a deeper hole of no useful content. Useful? I don't know if useful is the word, but it is a podcast. And hopefully you're doing something great while you're listening to this. If you're just watching it, then maybe there's something going on that I'm not picking up. But like, I feel like I don't play sports professionally. I don't know if you knew that, but I watch it a lot, and sometimes you see guys, strike out. Or not that this is striking out. This isn't a camp. It just feels like swinging and missing a lot. And I think that's partially because I just woke up. That's what this podcast is called. I just got my kid to sleep, and I just woke up. But sometimes you can do great things when you wake up. They say that Tom Brady fell asleep before he won a Super Bowl the first time. Like, not just the night before, but in the locker room. Anyway, so I'm in line at Starbucks to get my breakfast because I already had lunch and I knew when I got home, whenever that would be, I was going to do dinner. And I get the notification of the voucher and it's like $12. I was like, well, what? I'm making fun of the airlines in my head. I'm just like, really? We're waiting for 5 hours? What's this going to get me? And it literally covered everything I wanted. I got a bottle of Fiji water, like the Fiji water, the water that's not touched by human hands. I got oatmeal, perfect thing for breakfast with things that come in it. And then I also got a cinnamon raisin bagel, which I heard Starbucks was getting rid of cinnamon raisin bagels, but the one at the airport had a cinnamon raisin bagel. Cinnamon raisin bagel is such a good bagel choice because you got cinnamon, healthy. You should eat cinnamon every day. I heard raisins. That's grapes. That's tired. Tired grapes, but still delicious. In bread, it's just like sweet. They probably had sugar too, but so good. So I'm so excited. And I'm at $11 and I have $12. So I was like, throw that scone in there. Let's use the whole thing. I'm not here to save them money. And then I ate it all. Anyway. So I got the flight delay. As a parent, when you get delayed travel-wise, unless you're with your kid, then it's the worst. It's not the worst. It can be really fun if there's like a playground at the airport if you get delayed, because then it's like you don't have to like wear them. They're going to be worn out on the plane. They might fall asleep. I don't know. I feel like I've given up. Not on this. I will never give up on this. I've kind of given up as a parent, and he's too young to give up. Now, I haven't given up, but like all my beliefs that I held strong on when he was younger, I feel like I've been proven wrong so many times that I don't know what to believe anymore. Like food wise, I'd be like, oh, you gotta eat this. You gotta eat this. No, no dessert before. And now I'm just like, you wanna eat? You're gonna eat food? Sure, eat that. And then sometimes he eats healthy. Let's go to the list, huh? That's good. Let's see what we got. Oh, I think this is interesting. So I was thinking about this recently. Like if you're in a relationship as a guy and the person you're in a relationship isn't treating you well, they're not, it's like pretty much black and white that in some way or another, they're mistreating you. And it doesn't have to be big, you know, it can just be like insensitive or maybe some sort of, I don't want to get into details, but some sort of situation where it's like, and this, not that you're right all the time or perfect or anything, but in this situation, pretty much anybody would see that would be like, that person needs to change their behavior. I think it's healthier, and this is going to seem kind of broad or general. I think the other thing that could be different about this podcast is I took my contacts out, which I love contacts, I said earlier, and I don't have my glasses on because I don't need them for this close. I can see all of you out there. Well, I can't see any of you, but I can see you seeing me. I feel like I can make the connection. I remember the first time I wore contacts in my entire life because I had the glasses. That's where we were. That's when this thing was doing well. I had the glasses. And my mom was like, oh, they're not Coke bottle ones. And I pictured aluminum cans. I'm an idiot. I don't think I'm an idiot. But I was like, that's where your brain is as a kid. You're like, all right, mom. Yeah. So you had, that's the analogy you guys use as kids was aluminum cans for glasses. Okay. Yeah. It must have been a different generation. Anyway, I realized you're talking about the glass bottles, but I had the plastic frames that were orange, and it wasn't cool. If you see pictures of it from the perspective of now, you wouldn't be like, oh, that's cool. You'd be like, that was a nerdy kid. Like, I didn't look cool, because I think those kind of glasses look cool on adults because they're obviously choosing it. It's not their parents being like, well, this is the cheapest. I don't think my parents, they wouldn't give me the cheapest quality ones. I don't know. It was the 80s, I think. Maybe it was the 90s. When I had glasses, it was definitely the 80s. And maybe that was what was in style. It just didn't stay. Like, I think I got it right on the cusp. You ever been on the cusp of a style? Oh, this podcast is really taking off now. I don't know if I should comment as much, though. Chime in the comments on how much I should comment. Or don't. I kind of like not knowing because I don't want to be self-conscious. But if you think I really should know, then, you know, it can be fun to talk about the next day or the next podcast. But on whether I should comment about how the podcast is going during the podcast. And we're like a half hour in. So the fact that you heard that, I'm very happy you listened this far. But why wouldn't you? I think I'm still self-conscious about the shirt. I don't know. I might be too old to wear t-shirts with words on them. I'm not like someone who's like really into comic books. And I feel like sports, if you're going to the game, or if this is your team, but this is just like a field that I like on my shirt. It says Tropicana Field. It's from a cool company. I thought the baseball field was cool when I was there, but I didn't even buy, I ordered it because it looked soft and cool and I thought it might be a good style, but I just don't know. Anyway, I had those glasses and finally I got wire rim ones, the next pair of glasses. And that was cool. It was, I don't know if it was ever cool, but it was better. And then I got contacts when I was probably like in fifth or sixth grade. I didn't think it had to be eighth grade. Wow, Michael, I know it was like eighth grade because I remember in seventh grade basketball, I had Rec Specs. Remember Rec Specs? Horace Grant, you know Horace Grant, the basketball player? He wore Rec Specs. And I heard this story. He played on the Bulls when they won three championships, the first three-peat, which has got to be kind of hard, you know, to only be on one peat, one of the peats, the first peat, the pre-peat. I wonder if you refer, I'm more on the pre-peats, not the three-peats. So if you don't know, the Chicago Bulls won three championships 2 years in a row. They call it the three-peat. Horace Grant was one of the players that was only on the first three-peat. He was replaced because he probably got more money, you know, which I think it'd probably be cool to win six championships rather than, can you imagine Dennis Rodman and Horace Grant? Anyways, I heard that Horace Grant wore Rec Specs even after he got laser eye surgery because he wanted kids to know that it was cool to wear Rec Specs. And I'm here to say right now that thank you, Horace, but we still didn't think it was cool. It was something that you did, and we were like, oh, Horace did it too, but Horace is like a really good basketball player, and we're just seventh graders. We lost all our games seventh grade on the A team, and I don't think the Rec Specs were helping us. People really judge you as an athlete on your eyewear, you know, and basketball's not a sport where you want some, unless it's like a whole face mask because you got busted in the face. Anyway, how are we doing? I don't think I've made enough any noise yet. That's good. My neighbor over here is fine. How's Dr. Teeth doing? I put up the card again. That's good. If you're not watching, I should do it more for people listening. I really feel confident about everything. So I remember when I got contacts in eighth grade and I put them in my eyes and I rode on my bike and I couldn't believe that I couldn't feel them in my eyes. It was just like I could see. And I was like, how is not everybody's, like, that's one of those times where I wasn't like a young child. I was like, not a grown up, but like, you know, a teenager, almost 13, 14 years old. And I was like, how are people not talking about this? Like, people used to, maybe they just got good. Maybe soft contacts just came about, but it was like, I literally can't feel them in my eyes and I can see. I don't know how anybody does laser eye surgery because when I put contacts in, I don't notice a difference other than that I can see. Anyway, you ever been on the cusp of style or a trend changing? That was my basketball career. My older brother definitely got it though. He was a little older. My older brother was. I don't know about your older brother, but my older brother was a little older. And he was in the age where like people just stopped wearing basketball shorts really short, but the school hadn't bought new uniforms yet. So some of the teams still had to wear the old short shorts. And you have to be really good to live like that. And they were really good. But I remember like they're wearing the short shorts and like, it wasn't like a gradual change. Michigan in like 1991 wore big shorts and then that was it. And, you know, seventh graders across the country, like the lowest on the totem pole of the school basketball players, had to wear short shorts until some booster was like, please, we don't need to see your seventh grade legs anymore. Please, please, please. And I think about that now because they make fun of the shorts. They make fun of the big shorts now that we wore as kids. And I'm just like, yeah, but I don't know. As a man, I've never been like, people need to see these legs. Like, I just, I feel like if I were to play right now, I would, they're not super short, so it's fine. But it's almost like I think I would want them a little longer than what they are. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at with this. So anyways, if you're a guy and you're in a relationship and there's something that's happening that's not cool, I'm not saying you have to end the relationship over it, but like maybe they don't know what they're doing, or maybe they there's a good reason why they're doing what they're doing, but it's still not the right thing to do and you're being mistreated. I would say don't go talk to your women friends about it, or like a woman therapist, anybody, because I feel like, I don't know how this is going to come off, but I feel like in my experience, women can get very defensive of their friends or their, you know, their sons or their brothers or their cousins. You know, they get very defensive of them being mistreated. So their advice is just like, how could they do that? That's the advice that you get when you might be mistreated by somebody and you're trying to figure out how to deal with it. They're like, but how could they do that? That's what the woman says. And it's really hard as a man in this scenario where I'm talking about men, but it can be any gender at all. I just feel like when it's, you should go to your gender, someone who has your perspective in, that can put themselves on your side. It doesn't have to be man or woman, just like someone that can put themselves in your foot, in your shoes. Because like from my experience, and this is all about from my experience, I guess, women, they might be like, how, that's their advice. It's like, how could she do that? How? And that's not helpful. Like that's just like, yeah, what do you say? Like, yeah, how could she? But what do I do? And then they just exclaim it more. She did that? No. No. That's not okay. Not okay. She took your car and you had to walk? Not okay. And it's just like, okay. But what do I do? You know? Like that's what it's like to talk to like someone you have a family member with, or like even a woman therapist. In that situation, when you're in a relationship where something's happening that's not cool, they're just like, no, no. And in one sense, that's healthy to have someone clarify that for you, because maybe you're not at that step. You know, I was in a relationship a long time ago, you wouldn't know her, and I didn't see it right away. I didn't talk about it. I didn't see it. I didn't believe it. I couldn't, because when you first start dating somebody, I just feel like is when you look for that stuff. You're like, okay, where is this gonna go into? I'm picturing a volcano right now. Like, when is the ground I'm on gonna turn into lava? I'm a dad. When is this not gonna be safe anymore? How am I gonna see this coming before it happens? But then like that, sometimes when someone's on their best behavior, because they just knew you, know you, and they're like, they're not relaxed yet. They're just doing, and so then. Then when it starts, when whatever it's happening starts, whatever it is, you might not see it. I know when I knew when I had a problem, and it is my problem, not anymore, but it was my problem. No one else, you know, caused it other than the person that was in the relationship with me. But like, I remember I was like watching all of The Office, and I'd seen a lot of The Office before. Like so many, I watched it live. I would record, like I loved. Everybody loved The Office. Everybody I knew loved that. We loved the British one. We loved the American. Such a great show. Steve Carell. Everybody. You know, everybody. Can't name all the people acting in. We're already on a podcast. We don't have time for that. Oh, no. My set's falling apart. So anyways, love The Office. But I'd never seen season 4. I used to buy them on DVD. And that season was a strike season. And so I did buy the DVDs, but I never watched it. It just came with like a cool shirt. And from the Meredith fun run, not a fun run, but the thing, and something else that was cool too, like a cup, like a water bottle. But I never watched it. So finally, I was watching season 4 on Netflix at the time, and there's an episode where like Steve Carell's girlfriend at the time like breaks his TV, and it's really funny. Like it's a tiny TV, but he acts like it's a huge TV, or it's a really nice TV. She does something that's kind of like physically violent. And immediately he's just like, no, 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 no. And like, I think the police might come or something. Like, he definitely gets out of the relationship right then. And he might go back in later, but like, he gets out then. And that's when I was like, well, that's kind of similar. Someone breaking a thing, you know, it happened to me before. And I was like, oh, that's when I realized that I had a problem. When you know you have a problem when Michael Scott, who's, you know, historically, when it comes to like common sense and a lot of knowledge, like the stupidest character in the world, when he picks up on something and then you see that, you're like, whoa, I'm way behind, you know, like he got out right away. And I'm so, not to get sad, but anyway. You don't have to get out. It's not always an unfixable thing. But if you're in a relationship and someone's mistreating you and you need support or help, it can be helpful to talk to someone that's that gen, like a woman, if it's a woman, because they'll be like, no, how could they? But I think it's also more helpful to talk to the men in your life if you're a man, because there's just some perspective on it, I feel like. Like when I would talk to the like friend, male friends or siblings or my dad, I'm not really my, but there was just sense of like, when I would describe what happened, the sense of just like, yeah, I could see that. Like, there's this sense of like, oh yeah, that happened. Like there's outrage from the women in your life, that 'cause they're so like, how could somebody do that? But then the men are just like, Yeah, like, because I feel like, on some sense, and not to make a man one, whatever the gender is, you don't see what you do, what you're capable of, but we kind of do. And so I think it's healthy if you're in a situation where you might not be being treated the right way, to talk to someone who has the perspective, both of like outrage, but also of like, yeah. That is bad. 'Cause when someone's just like screaming at you about how bad the situation is, it kind of makes you feel stupid too. You know, like, wow, if it's that bad, what's wrong with me? Why am I in this? And it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. Is that Good Will Hunting? I think so. Good Will, movies can mess you up too for relationships. Like, I feel like The Office kind of gave me perspective, but I remember watching Good Will Hunting, and there's a part where Robin Williams' character talks about how he got offered a ticket to, I think, I want to say a World Series game, and he met like the future love of his life at the bar, and he would just like pass the ticket to his friends, and he stayed at the bar, which is like that. I mean, it's beautiful for the movie, and but with smartphones nowadays, it's like get her number, you know, like follow her on Instagram, like figure it out. Like, I guess when you're young, that could happen, but I can't imagine meeting someone who is the love of my life and being like, I'm gonna skip this World Series game. 'Cause I feel like she would be cool with me go, 'cause we would have our life to spend together. Like, he didn't know she was gonna die, right? I don't know. But in that movie, Robin Williams says, he's like, they're talking about love a lot in that movie. And not Robin, I say Robin Williams. He didn't write, this isn't his fault. Not that any of it is anybody's, you know, it won best writing. So maybe I'm wrong. There's a good chance. You should fact check everything if you're talking to me, especially that thing I said about relationships earlier. You should definitely talk to a professional. Over listen to this. Purely entertainment. And if it's not entertaining, it's not meant to be educational. It's just I missed on the entertaining part. If you're learning something from this, but it's not fun at all, that's not meant to be. Maybe I'll be educational at some point. I think I'm at dad stuff. I'm pretty good at knowing things. Anyway, Robin Williams' character, written by Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, said, talked about love and how he didn't love his wife in spite of her flaws. He loved his wife because of her flaws, which is kind of a deep thing for like a 20-year-old kid to write, like Matt Damon or whatever. And it is beautiful. And I think it works if the person you're in a relationship with isn't like someone with like, you know, flaws. Like, maybe I should be more of a romantic, but I think if it's like flaw, like if they have flaw, like, I don't know. You can love them because of their flaws, but don't love them. Like, don't be in a relationship if it's like a flaw, if it's like a flaw. Like that's, you gotta look out long term, you know? Because if you love her because of the flaw, then like that flaw is gonna be, you know? And like, maybe you have kids and they're gonna have, like, I don't think anybody's ever been like, oh, I love her so much. Oh, why? Well, not in spite of her flaws, but because of her flaws. Like, which flaws? Well, I don't know. When we're waiting for the train, sometimes she gives me a little push as it's coming, and I get like, oh, am I going to die? You know? Like, because of her flaws. That's why I love her. But people love people for weird things. All is fair in love and war. I don't know who said that, but I think about that sometimes. It's not really fair. I don't think anybody... I mean, war, gosh. That's the whole... There's all these, like, there's a history of wars that are won by people who are like, yeah, there's no rules to this, right? It's like when you make rules in war and you follow them, it's like you're playing a 5-year-old in a card game. It's like, well, these are the rules. And you're like, no. Jackson and I were playing, he got a deck of cards from his mom. They were Harry Potter cards. And so he wanted to play this game. And we sat down to play this game. And they're just normal cards, like all the things, but Harry Potter characters on them and things, and they're cool, and he knows about Harry Potter and from video games and stuff. And so he, like, at first I felt bad, because I know that when Jack wants to play a card game, all I have to do is let him win, and then, you know, this is going to be done soon. And I felt a little bad, because it's not like he was, like, sometimes he'll do it before bed. I'm like, yeah, we'll play this game. And then I make it so he wins, and then we get to go to bed. But this was like 4 o'clock, 4 p.m., you know, into the 4-hour mark of bedtime for sure. But we had time, you know. And so I was just like, we play 2 cards, and they'd be like, what does that mean? I'm like, well, I think it means you win, because you have, you know, these are swords, and this is Hermione, what's she gonna do to a sword, you know? And this is the Sword of Gryffindor. She's definitely gonna lose. And so I was like, he was just winning all the time. But then it got to the point where I was like, all right, maybe I'll just try to play it for real. Like, all right, this is Draco, that's Voldemort, you know. But I win. And he'd just be like, well, then that means we play, and then he would end up winning the hand. I was like, oh, it's just, he was gonna win. And I feel like he'll grow out of it, and if he doesn't, you know, when he plays with kids that want to win too, it's not going to go that way. And that's what war is like, when you try to follow the rules. It's like, no, the person's going to win who doesn't have rules. But I think with love, it's good to have rules. One time I was at a pizza place late at night. It was after a show, and we were all from the show at the comedy club. We were all went to this pizza place. And, when you go to pizza places late night, usually there's like people that have been drinking. And so we had this like kind of like this booth, and some drunk guy just like sat down next to this, to one of the, like the server from the comedy club. And it was kind of weird, because like he was drunk, but he wasn't like hurting anybody, but just like, well, this is our table. And his buddy came over and he got rid of him, and he looked at me. His buddy was like, yeah. And I wasn't in a relationship with anybody at that table, but he thought, I guess I was dating the girl. And he's like, you got to respect that. You got to respect that girl and you and whatever. And I was like, oh, that's nice. I don't know why I said that, but I think it could be good if there's rules in love, like if someone's in a relationship. Anyway, Anything else in the paper? Happy to support. I was talking about Starbucks earlier. My thing did cover the thing at Starbucks. I remember this was a little while ago, but I'm Catholic and I go to Mass. And I remember around Lent, I think it was, or before Christmas, there was a Catholic church that that in order to encourage donating money during this time that they were going to give to people that needed it, you know, not just the church, it was like towards whatever cause. They had these like envelopes. If you're not Catholic, you fill it, you get an envelope every week and fill it out and pay or whatever. Yeah, there's money involved. There's money exchanging hands. It's religion, but it's not like, I don't need to get into that. It's not like they like send you a bill, you know, which would kind of be easier, I think. Like, I just like it. Like, I stream cable, and I like knowing that it's this much money. And if someone was like, well, this is how much it costs to stream, you know, your religion into your home, I'd be like, well, that's what it is. But, it's, you know, it's a good cause or whatever. So it's just whatever you can. But not whatever you can. Like, you should live life. They used to say 10%, but it's like after you take out all your expenses, maybe. I don't know. This is why I don't really send this podcast out to family, because I don't really know what I'm going to say. And so I don't know if I want people who know me to judge me differently. But this Catholic church, it was Old St. Mike's Catholic Church. And I'll wrap up soon. Like, if you're listening, you're like, when is this going to stop? I will get there. You know, this is about how long it usually is. Unless that first part where it cut off, I cut off. But I think I'll just keep it, you know, this is good. The Starbucks, the Catholic Church had little envelopes for that specific season, where it was like, if you just give how much you would pay for a Starbucks cup of coffee or whatever it is, per week, how much you would do that to that, then this is what you could, you know, you could give a lot of money. And my whole thing was like, that's how successful a Starbucks is like the, you know, God's house sees them as a comparable competition. So yeah, this has been my podcast. I'm gonna go through some stuff right now that I'm doing coming up. I'm in Tacoma, Washington this weekend, and Oregon and Portland and Utah and Montana and probably South Dakota if people that buy tickets. Washington, DC, Baltimore, Tennessee, Jacksonville, Lexington. It's all on my website. You know, we made it. This is the one that I fell asleep before. I got my kid to sleep, and then I fell asleep, and my leg also fell asleep, but we did it. We made it, which I don't know if that's how you should view something that you're making for people to enjoy, being like, whew, I got there. I think we got there a little bit, you know? I'm gonna stop commenting regardless on the comments. I'm going to stop commenting so much because I don't think it's commenting that makes people enjoy it as much. My name is Michael Palasak, and this has been I Just Got My Kid to Sleep, episode 6. Thank you, everybody. The end.